అదేవ
బ్రహ్మా గురుర్విష్ణు గురుదేవో మహేశ్వరః గురు సాక్షాత్ పరబ్రహ్మం తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః.
గురు
బ్రహ్మా గురుర్విష్ణు గురుదేవో మహేశ్వరః పరబ్రహ్మం తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. జ్ఞానమూలం గురుమూర్తిః పూజామూలం గురుపాదం మంత్రమూలం గురువాక్యం మోక్షమూలం గురుకృపా. గురుర్విష్ణు గురుదేవో మహేశ్వరః గురు సాక్షాత్ పరబ్రహ్మం తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. ఓం శ్రీ జ్ఞాన పరమాత్మనే నమః.
థ్యాంక్ యూ గ్రీష్మ. ఓం శ్రీ నాన్న పరమాత్మనే నమః. ఈరోజు మనం ఎస్ఆర్ నగర్ జ్ఞాపకాలు తిరిగి తెచ్చేసుకుందాం. మొత్తం బేబీ తెలియని వాళ్ళు ఎవ్వరూ ఉండరు. ఎందుకు అంటే నాన్నగారు ఎస్ఆర్ నగర్లో బహుశా దగ్గర దగ్గర 15 ఏళ్ళు. హైదరాబాద్ వస్తే కేర్ ఆఫ్ అడ్రస్ ఈజ్ ఎస్ఆర్ నగర్. సో ఎస్ఆర్ నగర్ వాజ్ వెరీ డియర్ టు నాన్నగారు's హార్ట్. It was very dear to Nanagaru's heart because, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, it was like, Nanagaru, S.R. Nagar was like Brindavan for us. Because, and Nanagaru liked it a lot because, chala ishtam Nanagaru kindu ante, center andarki. Andarki center anmata. ఎస్ఆర్ నగర్ ఎందుకంటే అటు కూకట్పల్లి నుంచి వచ్చే వాళ్ళకి, ఇటు సైడు సికింద్రాబాద్ సైడ్ నుంచి వచ్చే వాళ్ళకి, మౌలాలి సైడ్ నుంచి వచ్చే వాళ్ళకి, మధురా నగర్ సైడ్ నుంచి వచ్చే వాళ్ళకి, దెన్ మాదాపూర్, అందరికీ కూడా ఎస్ఆర్ నగర్ సంభావ్ బికెన్ ది సెంటర్ పాయింట్ అనమాట. అండ్ ఇంద్రాంటి గురించి అయితే చెప్పక్కర్లేదు బికాజ్ ఇంద్రాంటి వాజ్ సంబడీ హూ వాజ్ ఆల్వేస్ వెల్కమింగ్ గెస్ట్స్ లైక్ నాన్నగారు. అంటే టు హర్ ఎవ్రీ డివోటీ వాజ్ లైక్ నాన్నగారు. So, her home was always welcome. The doors were always open. And Nanagaru chose to live there because it was a home for everybody, not just Nanagaru. And of course, we have to give the credit to uncle also because uncle kuda velipovadam, like, I mean, he was a great devotee of Nana. Of course, he was not in very expressive about it, but he had a very in-depth devotion to Nanagaru and he lived a very humble and very, you know, like disciplined life. Actually, today we will talk a lot about discipline because baby, like her dad, is very, very disciplined in life. Yeah, I should be calling her Sridevi. We call her baby because it's her pet name. Sridevi is her actual name. And S.R. Nagar is the center for the last almost 15-20 years for Nanagaru to come. So this was the last residence where he finally did his last satsang in Hyderabad. And I think the last trip that he came also was to S.R. Nagar. He blessed all of us in that hall, and that hall is very memorable to all of us. The whole house we used as if it's our own. The meals were served freely every time we were there. There was never a lack of anything at all. It was like a kalpa vruksham for us. S.R. Nagar was kalpa vruksham. So, baby, I wouldn't want to take a lot of time from you. You were one real humble, obedient, and down to earth. I mean, very, very down to earth. So people, I think many did not know it was your home. Even now some people might be wondering who you are, because you were professional, of course. Sridevi has been working in L.V. Prasada Institute in the administrative wing for a very long time now. So Nana would never let her skip her duty. So she was most of the time continuing her duty, even in spite of having Nangaru at home. She would come back in the evening, probably she would sit in the back seat and just watch him. And then she was very devoted. She had beautiful memories with Nangaru. So if you'd like to hear in your words, and also I have to highlight this, that she had written Arugu, a poem on Nanagaru, so beautifully, spontaneously written by her. And Nangaru, after he read it, he felt it was like, is it you that wrote it? Is it you that wrote it? Because it was, I mean, only somebody who has understood Nangaru totally in the heart could only put him into such beautiful words. And so we would love to hear it from you, in Telugu as well as English, because it will be a delight for both language people. Huh? So first let us light the lamp, as you said. We will show Indira, yes, because she was, yes, she was the prime person who, you know, welcomed all the devotees like she did Nangaru, and sure, most honorable to all of sure us. Yeah.
Sure. Amma, she's coming over and lighting the lamp. So yeah, when you are asking me to read out these, so one is about his name, the other is about that abode of bliss we had called Arugu.
Yeah.
So here is Mom lighting the lamp. I hope you all can see.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Indira aunty. Chala anandanga undi mimmalni chuddam.
Before I start, I just want to show the place where Nanagaru always sat.
Yeah.
This is where he sat for 10 years, you know, delighting devotees with his discourses and his, you know, giving them wisdom. This is where he sat. And he also, I just want to show the room and then I will start off.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Sridevi
is taking us to his room where Nangaru resided in SR Nagar. That is his room in SR Nagar.
This Nangaru's was the
room
he slept on for over 10 years, and this is where he stayed when he came. So I thought devotees would love to see this. So
oh, wow.
I will go
this
back.
Is beautiful. Yes. So this is how he used to walk to the hall from his room, and the hall would be filled with devotees. So,
and
know,
this
like
is
not even, I think, even ant could not squeeze in. It was, we would jam-pack ourselves there. Yeah, so beautiful.
Yeah. So, you want me? Sorry, let me turn this around. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you want me to first read the...
Let's start. Om Shri, 1 minute. Om Shri Nana Paramatmane Namaha. Yeah. Baby,
okay,
read the poem Arugu in English first, because you wrote it in English, right?
Yeah.
Then
right,
it was translated to Telugu.
Right. But you said you wanted the thing on name. I should do that later?
No, do the name also, because name also was a spontaneous intuition for you. Why Nanagaru is named so, and what could be the meaning of it? You read out his name first and then proceed with the Arugu.
Sure. So I will read about the Chinbabu Phonjasa Taranchin. Okay? Okay, I will read about his name. This is to beloved Nanagaru. While his endearing name Nanagaru is so apt, his given name Bhupati Raju Venkata Lakshmi Narasimha Raju has a deep meaning. In salutation to Nanagaru, who is so dear to our heart, a few words that urged expression in a moment of overwhelming gratitude. O Bhupati Raja, which means Lord of the Universe, like Venkata, the Lord of the Seven Hills, you bless us and respond to our prayers. You help us to overcome misery and you shower us with your grace. You are Lakshmi, the Lord of Wealth, not the impermanent worldly possessions, but the real wealth of the ultimate divine knowledge and supreme bliss. You are Narasimha, the destroyer of all delusion, the Maya, and upholder of the efforts towards faith and self-realization. You are Raju, the King of Kings, the protector of all creation. We take refuge in thee. While you are the Supreme Lord, you are truly Nanagaru, most revered and beloved Father. You enfold us in your divine embrace and shower us with endless love and peace. We experience bliss in the loving glance of your grace. Our salvation lies solely in total surrender to your beloved feet and constant remembrance of you in our hearts. Bless us with strength and courage to have faith in you, undisturbed by the worldly affairs. Bless us so that we always love you.
So beautiful. So beautiful. That was Sridevi's explanation of Nangaru's name. Venkata Lakshmi, Bhupati Venkata Lakshmi Narasimha Raju. She has beautifully comprehended his name. I mean, it's such a beauty. Yeah. So now, and that was one of the highlights. And the other one was describing his life in his native, that is Jinnur.
I think I'll have to open that. Just give me a minute.
Yeah, take your time. That's okay.
Yeah. So, actually, I must tell you, when I wrote these two, and also an article about him, even now I don't understand how I wrote it. I need the phone. Amma phone. I don't even remember. I can't even think how I wrote it, because they came. I just had this urge. I have to write about Nanagaru. And then I'll just tell you how it happened. See, I started writing some articles for Sanjaka's sister-in-law. She was running a magazine, a spiritual magazine. And then he asked, they encouraged me to write articles. So I started writing some articles on Deepam, on Bhagwan, and Bhagwan's death experience. All these I had written.
That's what is your beauty. We didn't even know you did this till you told us now.
and then all these articles I didn't write with my own words. I would listen to Nanagaru's speech discourses. I would pick out something and then I compiled them into these articles. That is what I do even now. So I try not to use a single word of my own. I try to use every word from his. So then once I was it just came to me an urge. Why not write about Nanagaru? So all the other articles I had to put a lot of effort, because I had to collect material, do it. This one I did not even think. I said, okay, let me write. Just sat before the system, and less than an hour I think I had the article ready. Even now I think I didn't. He made me write it. He wrote it is what I think, because he wanted everyone to know about him. So that is how this article was written.
It's like this Hemad Pant who has written Satcharitra, no? He would always say in the beginning, in the introduction, that I am nobody, I can do nothing about it, because he's God of gods, and he's, as you read about his name, he is our refugee, and then he's the one who takes us from the samsara of this world to the eternal bliss. Who can write about him except he for himself? And he just needs an instrument to do that. And it's so beautiful that you were instrumental, Sridevi. Really? Please read it out. It would be a great, great pride, actually.
So actually, this Arugu came out of that article. Because when they took the article, they didn't want it long. So I had to cut it down. Then Sanjaka encouraged me to write it in more detail. She said the devotees will love it. So that's how I started. And then I think I'll read it out for you. Even this, I did not attempt. I said I told her fine, but after a few days, again the urge came and I wrote it. I just wrote it like that. I'll just read it out. So it just describes his the place, his the front veranda before his house, where he always sat and took care of devotees. So I will just read as I wrote it. The soft and warm rays of the morning sun glide over the green treetops to the red tiled roof of the house nestled among coconut palms and reach the open veranda, the arugu, in the front of the house. An elderly man clad in white comes out onto the veranda and stands quiet and still for a few moments. He goes about his daily activities, his every moment calm and serene. He then sits in his chair on the veranda, totally relaxed, a soft smile on his face, as if a secret joy from within is spilling over onto his countenance. A few women walk through the main entrance of the his home and stand hesitant. He looks at them and his smile widens into open pleasure. He invites them with a gesture and they sit at his feet, gazing at him, their faces flooded with happiness. More men and women come and sit quietly, gazing at him. He looks around, embracing each person with his loving glance. Men and children receive the additional benevolence of his touch as he softly caresses their arms and cups their faces with his hands, gazing fondly at them. Little boys in school uniforms come and wait. He glances at them, inclines his head and nods, a tiny, almost imperceptible movement, and they silently leave, having received their daily dose of grace and blessing. Some of the visitors offer him fruits and sweets. He accepts them gracefully, returns a portion to them, and gives the remaining to the others sitting around. Someone brings a special offering from a holy place they visited. Someone else, an attractively wrapped packet of sweets or an expensive gift. He accepts them with the eagerness and joy of a child, as if he has been longing for it, examines each with a candid and childlike pleasure, and asks questions about it with a childlike innocence. Then, with a huge smile, he gifts it to another among the persons sitting around and promptly forgets about it as he turns to the next person. This is the daily routine of Sadhguru Sri Nanagaru on the Arugu, the open veranda of his house in Jinnuru. A couple of hours in the morning and late afternoon are allotted to his followers who come daily. For years, the Arugu has been a silent witness to the words of wisdom that gushed forth through Nanagaru's lips and to the radiance of love and endearment that spilled from his eyes and countenance. It also stands witness to the joys and sorrows of many who sought guidance and support to move forward. Devotees come every day in his love, to soak in his love and drink in his words, and they keep coming back thirsting for more. For them, Arugu has no equal on this earth. It is heaven itself. On this Arugu, seekers found direction and guidance. The troubled received solace, and the uninitiated got their first glimpse of a new road to happiness.
Wow. Adbhutam. తెలుగులో కూడా రెండు ఒకసారి చదవండి బేబీ, దెన్ విల్ బిగిన్.
ఓకే. సో అబౌట్ హిస్ నేమ్, నేను తెలుగులోది అది పేరు గురించి చదువుతున్నాను.
అలాగే
నాన్నగారు అనేదే సరి అయిన పేరు, ఆయనకి సరి అయిన పేరు, కానీ ఆయన వ్యవహారిక నామం భూపతిరాజు వెంకట లక్ష్మీ నరసింహరాజు. అందులో కూడా ఎంతో గూఢార్థం ఉంది. మన తండ్రి పాదాలకు వందనం సమర్పిస్తూ హృదయంలో కృతజ్ఞతాభావం పొంగిన ఒక క్షణంలో మనసులో మెదిలిన కొన్ని భావాలు. ఓ భూపతిరాజా, జగత్ పరిపాలకుడా, ఆపద ముక్కుల వాడు, కోరికలు తీర్చే కల్పతరువు అయిన వెంకటపతి నీవు. మమ్మల్ని దీవించి మా ప్రార్థనలో ఆలకిస్తావు, మా దుఃఖాన్ని పోగొట్టి మాపై నీ కృపావర్షం కురిపిస్తావు. ఐశ్వర్యానికి రూపమైన లక్ష్మీవి నీవే. అశాశ్వతమైన ఈ ప్రాపంచిక సంపద కాదు నీ ఐశ్వర్యం, అది వెలకట్టలేని జ్ఞాన సంపద, సంపూర్ణ సచిదానందం. పసివాడైన ప్రహ్లాదుని రక్షించి రాక్షస వధ చేసిన నరసింహ మాలో మాయని రూపుమాపి అజ్ఞానాంధకారాన్ని వధించి పసిప్రాయంలో ఉన్న మా భక్తి విశ్వాసాలను వివేక వైరాగ్యాలను రక్షిస్తావు. లోకరక్షకుడు అయిన రాజాది రాజువి నీవు, నీవే మాకు గతి, నీకు శరణు. నీవు జగదీశ్వరుడు అయినా నీ నిజరూపము నాన్నగారు, మాకు ప్రియమైన తండ్రివి. మమ్మల్ని నీ దివ్యమైన ఒడిలోకి తీసుకుని నీ కృపావర్షం మాపై కురిపించి మాకు అంతులేని ప్రేమ శాంతి అందిస్తావు. నీ కృపాదృష్టి మమ్మల్ని ఆనంద సాగరంలో ముంచివేస్తుంది. నిన్ను హృదయంలో సదా జ్ఞాపకం ఉంచుకుని నీకు సంపూర్ణ శరణాగతి చెయ్యటం ఒకటే మాకు గమ్యం. నీపై అంతులేని విశ్వాసం, చెదరని విశ్వాసం ఉండేలా మాకు శక్తిని ధైర్యాన్ని ప్రసాదించేది నీవే. అన్య చింతన లేకుండా నిన్నే సదా ప్రేమించేటట్లు దీవించు తండ్రి.
సో బ్యూటిఫుల్, మై గాడ్. ఐ మీన్ ఐ థింక్ యాక్చువల్లీ ది ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎంటైర్ సత్సంగ్ వాస్ ఇన్ ఇట్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్. ఇఫ్ యు కుడ్ రియల్లీ యు నో
లైక్
maybe you always used to say that you cannot speak and you know your written expression is always better and you don't have a spoken expression, but reading out today was the best expression so far.
Okay, thank you.
So arugu kuda telugulo chadavandi baby.
Yeah, okay. Nana gari arugu. ఉదయపు సూర్యుని లేత కిరణాలు పచ్చని చెట్ల మీదుగా జారుతూ కొబ్బరి చెట్ల గుబురుల మధ్యలో ఒదిగి ఉన్న ఆ ఇంటి కప్పుపై పెంకుల మీదకి అరుగు మీదకి పరుచుకున్నాయి. ఇంటి లోపల నుంచి తెల్లని వస్త్రాలు ధరించిన ఒక వృద్ధ వ్యక్తి ఆ అరుగు మీదకి వచ్చి కొన్ని క్షణాలు మౌనంగా అచలంగా నిలబడి తర్వాత కాలకృత్యాలు తీర్చుకోవడానికి ఉద్యుక్తులయ్యారు. వారి ప్రతి కదలికలో ప్రశాంతత, సరళత్వం ఉట్టిపడుతున్నాయి. పని కాగానే నెమ్మదిగా వచ్చి కుర్చీలో కూర్చున్నారు. వారి హృదయంలో రహస్యంగా దాగి ఉన్న ఆనందం ముఖంపైకి తొణికిందా అన్నట్టు వారి వదనంపై చల్లని చిరునవ్వు. కొందరు స్త్రీలు ఇంటి ప్రాంగణంలో అడుగుపెట్టి ముందుకు రావడానికి సంకోచిస్తూ నిలిచారు. వారిని చూడగానే ఆయన ముఖం ఆనందంతో విప్పారింది. చేతి సంజ్ఞతో వారిని ఆహ్వానించారు. సంతోషం వరదలా పొంగి వస్తుంటే వెలిగిపోతున్న ముఖాలతో ఆ స్త్రీలు ఆయన పాదాల వద్ద చతికిలబడ్డారు. మరికొందరు స్త్రీలు పురుషులు వచ్చి ఆయన వైపు చూస్తూ అరుగుపై నిశ్శబ్దంగా కూర్చున్నారు. తన ప్రేమపూరితమైన చూపుతో వచ్చిన వారందరినీ స్పృశిస్తూ పురుషులను పిల్లలను అదనంగా తన స్పర్శతో భుజాలు వీపు నిమురుతూ వారి ముఖాలను తన చేతుల మధ్య తీసుకుని ఆప్యాయంగా చూస్తూ అందరిపైన తమ ప్రేమను దయను కురిపిస్తున్నారు. బడికి తయారైన చిన్న పిల్లలు వచ్చి ఒక పక్క ఒదిగి నిలబడ్డారు. ఆయన వారి వైపు చూసి చిన్నగా తల ఊపారు. కనీ కనిపించని ఆ చిన్న కదలికలో ఆ రోజుకి సరిపడా వారి వంతు అనుగ్రహం, దీవెనలు అందుకుని ఆ పిల్లలు నిశ్శబ్దంగా వెనుతిరిగి బడికి వెళ్ళిపోయారు. వచ్చిన వారిలో కొందరు ఆయనకు పళ్ళు మిఠాయిలు సమర్పించగా వాటిని ఆప్యాయంగా అందుకొని కొంత భాగం వాళ్లకు తిరిగి ఇచ్చి మిగతాది అక్కడ కూర్చున్న వారికి పంచుతారు. కొందరు ఏదైనా పుణ్యక్షేత్రం నుంచి ప్రసాదము గాని లేదా ప్రత్యేకంగా అలంకరించిన వస్తువు గాని తెస్తే వాటి కోసమే తప్పిస్తున్నట్టుగా ఆత్రంగా పసిపిల్లవాడిలా విప్పారిన ముఖంతో అందుకుని దాని గురించి రకరకాల ప్రశ్నలు వేసి దాన్ని అన్ని వైపులా తిప్పి పరిశీలించి ఒక పెద్ద దరహాసంతో అక్కడ ఉన్న ఎవరో ఒకరికి బహూకరించి అక్కడితో దాన్ని మర్చిపోయి వదిలేసి ఇంకొకరి వైపు తన దృష్టిని మళ్లిస్తారు. ఇదంతా సద్గురు శ్రీ నాన్నగారి ఇంటి అరుగు మీద జరిగే దైనందిన కార్యక్రమం. ప్రతిరోజు ఉదయం మళ్ళీ మధ్యాహ్నం కొన్ని గంటలు తన కోసం వచ్చే భక్తుల కోసం కేటాయిస్తారు. ఎన్నో సంవత్సరాలుగా ఈ అరుగు నాన్నగారి నోటి నుండి జాలువారే అనుగ్రహ భాషణాలకు, వివేకంతో కూడిన సంభాషణలకు, వారి కళ్ళ నుంచి, ముఖారవిందం నుంచి చల్లగా వెలుగులా ప్రసరించే ప్రేమ ఆప్యాయతలకు ఒక నిశ్శబ్ద సాక్షిగా నిలిచింది. ఇంకా ఒక ఆలంబనం కోసం, దారి చూపిన పెళ్లి కోసం వెతుక్కుంటూ వచ్చే ఎంతరికో సుఖ సంతోషాలను, దుఃఖాలను కూడా ఆ అరుగు ప్రత్యక్ష సాక్షి. నాన్నగారి ప్రేమలో మునిగి తడిచిపోవాలని, ఆర్తితో వారి మాటలను గ్రోలాలని భక్తులు ప్రతిరోజు వస్తారు. తనివి తీరక వస్తూనే ఉంటారు. వాళ్ళకి ఆ అరుగే స్వర్గం. దీనికి సమానమైనది కానీ, దీనిని మించినది కానీ వాళ్ళకి ప్రపంచంలో లేదు. ఇక్కడ గడిపిన మధుర క్షణాలు వారికి అపురూపం. ఈ అరుగు మీద తారతమ్యాలు ఉండవు. అధికారులు, నాయకులు, సంపన్నులు, పేదలు, పండితులు, నిరక్షరాస్యులు, గృహస్థులు, సన్ని అందరూ ఇక్కడ శాంతిని పొందారు. అందరిపై ఒకే ఆదరణ. ఈ అరుగు మీద సత్యాన్వేషకులకు మార్గం దొరికింది, ఒక ఆలంబన అందింది. కష్టాలలో ఉన్న వారికి ఊరట లభించింది. ఇంకా కొత్తగా ఇటు దృష్టి మళ్లించిన వారికి సుఖాన్ని చేరుకునే దారి గోచరించింది. అరుగు ఇప్పుడు కనిపించకపోయినా దానికి ఆ వైభవాన్ని కలిగించిన ఆ పరమాత్మ అచ్యుతం. అక్కడి నుంచి వర్షించే అనుగ్రహం అనంతం. నాన్నగారి భక్తుల హృదయాలలో అరుగుకి ఉన్న స్థానం శాశ్వతం.
అద్భుతం, అద్భుతం, చాలా చాలా బాగుంది. సో లెట్ అస్ కమ్ టు సత్సంగ్. ఇట్స్ సో బ్యూటిఫుల్ బేబీ. ద వెరీ యు నో అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ హాల్ అండ్ ద ప్లేస్ నాన్నగారు సాట్, ఇట్ జస్ట్ బ్రాట్ బ్యాక్ ది ఎంటైర్ యు నో హిస్ ప్రెసెన్స్ అండ్ ఆరా ఇన్ టు ది సత్సంగ్. సో ఇట్ మేక్స్ అ గ్రేట్ డిఫరెన్స్ ద హోలీ కంపెనీ, ద ప్లేస్ వేర్ హీ సాట్, ప్లేస్ వేర్ హీ అడ్రెస్డ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ us. అరుకు వాస్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ in jinnuru it was many decades on arugu and almost more than That's a decade true. In sr nagar in hyderabad. So now let's begin with your father's introduction to nanagaru, then your mother and father, and then you can continue with yours, baby. It will be a delight to hear from you.
Okay, actually when I was thinking about my dad, well, I say dad is easier for me. So yeah. The first thought that came to me when I started writing about him is that we think we went to the guru, we think our association we built with the guru, but my dad's life shows how guru himself, you know, looked, searched for him, came to him and attracted him towards him. That is what I felt, the first thought that I had about
my dad's relation with Nana.
So actually dad and I think our journey went together. It was our mother who insisted that we go and meet him. When she first met him, she wanted us to go and meet him also. We were reluctant, we didn't want to go, but then she insisted. Then we said, okay, let's go, and to please her we will go. And then we went, and then we prostrated to him. He said something nice, polite, and then we walked away. He said, we were relieved, okay, it's over, and then we went back home. But then little did we realize, I think, that very soon we will be completely enfolded into his embrace, and our lives will be totally linked with him.
Yes.
And then and then after that, we sometimes used to visit him and all that. To tell a little about my dad, actually his personal life, he went through a lot of problems in life. He had to, from childhood, and then when with his children, we are four of us, with all four he had problems. I mean, when we had crisis, he was suffering and all that. But he was a civil engineer, very respected professional, and among relatives he was highly highly respected. Honored. And then he was always very generous. We always had several people at home, you know, coming. In those days there was few people lived in Hyderabad when we were kids, so we had a lot of people coming here for treatments and all that. And my mother, with her generosity, she cooked for them, she made them feel at home. So all that used to happen. And then I think sometime in mid-1991, we first met Nanagar. So though he was a wonderful person, he also had a lot of struggles and pain in his life. So Nanagaru, I think, was someone who gave him happiness and peace. So I think the last 9 years of his life, I think about 10 years of his life, he was completely in Nanagaru's fold.
Yeah.
In 1991, like I told you, we first went and saw him. And then after that, once or twice, we would go and see him whenever she insisted. And then I think once we went to West Godavari to visit somebody for some event. Then when we were returning home, we had to catch a train. There was very little time. And then when we came to Bhikkhuram, my mother heard that Nanagaru is in one of the villages just next to Bhimavaram. Yeah. She insisted we have to go there. And we told her, so impractical, you cannot go now. Then she said, no, we have to go. And then we said, we were grumbling. And then finally she managed to get it was miraculous actually, because I guess Nanagaru wanted us there. So he was actually pulling us. She was only an instrument who got all the brunt from us. So anyway, we said, you won't get transport, you don't know where he is, you will have to find out, all that will take time, and there's hardly any time for the train. And anyway, we got transport so quickly, we just drove to the village and somebody immediately directed us to the house. And as we were walking up, the devotees were leaving because he finished his discourse and they were leaving. And then they told us, hurry, hurry, he will go away into the room. So we rushed up, and the Nanagaru was just walking out of the room, and he looked at us and he gave such a beautiful smile and he said, come, I'm waiting for you. So suddenly, we were, my goodness, waiting for us. We didn't even tell him we were coming. So, and then he said, please come, and he took us into the room, and then he just held my dad's hand and he was like, as though he's someone long lost has come. He was showing so much love. And then we were just overwhelmed. We were sitting there. And then he told my dad, he was asking my dad, do you listen to my discourses anytime? You must tell me comment on them. I will try to improve on them with your comments. And all that he started saying. And dad was completely floored. He just stood up and he folded his hands and he said, how can I even do that? Your wisdom is so much, and I'm such an ignorant person. How can even I do that? Is what he said. And then after that, Nanagaru spoke about some time. And then it was time for the train. He told us to leave quickly and all. We reached the station much ahead of time. And my mother was she was so happy. And then she kept on taunting us. You and your father gained everything. And I am the one who got all your grumblings. So that was what it was. And then after that, my mother and my aunt, both of them were the first devotees from our house. And then they would keep going. Yeah, Krishnadi. And she also her faith is also very, I'll just tell her about her also a little. And then anyway, so whenever they went to visit Nanagaru, he would only ask for dad and me. And then these people would come back and tell, we are the ones who are going there, he is more interested in both of you. And then he would keep asking all the time. And then the dad used to feel, he's showing so much love. He's asking so many times, I will go and visit him at least sometime. So he would go, but he was so shy of all those crowds and all. He would stand around there. And then Nanagaru would call him. So he would ask the devotee to wait. And then he would just stand, take my dad's hand and walk into his room and close the door. And here,
so it was because he was shy of the rest of the crowd. He would take him inside personally and talk to him.
Yeah. And then he would, sometimes he would spend with him for half an hour, and more than that, here devotees would be getting restless, but he would, and daddy would keep saying, no, let's go out, devotees are waiting. He would say, they will wait, you sit, and then he would make him sit with him. And then I think over time, dad started feeling more and more, linked to Nanagaru, and then he would think of him all the time. And then he would have this urge to go to Chinnuru. And then he and I would go together most of the time. Because he was a shy person. He wanted somebody along with him. So I would go with him. And then we would... And everything was so well arranged for him. Because he did not want to push himself forward. He stayed behind back. And then so Rama Rao Garu, Dr. Rama Rao Garu, he took care of dad whenever he went there. He would keep him in his home, take care of him. He would accompany him to Nanagaru, and because I had this, I would stay back. I was also hesitant to, you know, just walk into Nanagaru's house and all.
Yeah, and then you were very, very disciplined and decent, huh? Like, you always maintained a very honorable distance.
A little too on the negative side.
I mean, you can't say that's negative. I think you honored him so much that you couldn't just barge on him. You would maintain a decent space for him to, you know, like.
Yeah.
One of the divine qualities, actually, Sridevi. Very so humble, then, obedient, and, you know, like, very, very respectful, yeah.
Not, well, I will tell you more about that later, but.
Yeah.
And then anyway, that Nangari used to call him Engineer Garu and all that, and very, very, he would treat him so, you know, with so much love and as if he was his own family and all that. Yeah. So, and some of the devotees would tell us, you are coming so frequently, you should stay at the Kshetram, we will keep a room for you. But Nangari himself would enter in and say, no, he will stay in Rama Rao Garu's house. He will be comfortable there. Let him be, like that he used to tell. And then he stayed there. Whenever dad came, he would call him for a meal. And then he was, he would give all those a host, a very good host he was, Nangaru. He would pour water over his hand, hand him a towel. And then he would stand over, watch over him when he's eating, making sure he's eating everything. And dad used to be so embarrassed. At the same time, you know, that bliss would remain with him for days together.
Yeah, because it would be so overwhelming, Kada Sridevi. I mean, it's so overwhelming when somebody is treating you like they're very dear and near.
Yeah.
And you don't get this unalloyed love from anybody, right? I mean, even if it's a close relative, they can be affectionate. But that unalloyed love was so unique. Huh? Like, we would be smitten by his love, actually.
Yeah. And then also, dad used to be very much attracted to Arunachalam and Ramanashram also. Because when we went to Arunachalam, he preferred to stay in the Ramanashram, even when after Andhrashram was built. And then...
here I think I need to mention that your dad was the one who supervised the construction of Andhrashram.
True. Actually, I was going to tell about that.
Please do.
So he loved doing Giri Pradakshina. That is something he enjoyed the utmost. But he could not walk because of diabetes. His legs were, you know, there was the difficulty with his legs and all that. But he was, you know, with great difficulty he would still go. Then Nandaru sat and told him, please, your devotion is more important. You should go with your footwear. You can walk. I know you enjoy it. Go with your footwear, it does not matter. So for a long time he did that. You know, that's how Nanagari used to take care of every problem and every need of a devotee.
Every issue then, was addressed.
Every issue was. In every aspect, he would make sure physically okay, and then you are comfortable, and then give you spiritual guidance.
Yeah.
And then, his trips used to be so memorable because, you know, Rama Rao Garu and Sanjaka, Lakshmi and all that, Lakshmaka, we were all so close. And dad was so comfortable among them. So we would usually travel together and come back together. And then I think, that, like you are telling about Andhrashram, Nangaru, I always used to think Nangaru's attraction for Arunachala and Ravanashram and all, these are all, I think, they're all predestined kind of a thing because Nanagaru already had his work, you know, already planned for him in the building of Andhra.
As you said, actually, how he made people instrumental in his work is just amazing.
Yes, absolutely. He knew exactly, like, my mother's work was, planned for her, my work was planned for me, dad's work was planned for me. Each of us so different in our personalities. I think dad and I were more similar, but my mother was a complete opposite of us. So
she was more of, you know, so much of love and affection and, you know, like receiving people, merging with everybody that came and lot of love serving, feeding was her role.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so, you see, when the Sandrasham started, Nanagaru involved Dad in every aspect of it, starting from the, you know, planning, designing, and then construction, and all that, and then several months, he would travel regularly to Arunachalam. But I think that was the most glorious period of his life, because he was constantly in touch with Nanagaru. He was constantly interacting with him. He spent so many hours in his presence. And he loved Arunachalam. The spiritual radiance of Arunachalam, I think, really worked on him. So, construction is just, I think, just a thing that there prepared for him for his own spiritual enlightenment. That is what I always also felt. So then, I think when the Nanagaru Ashram started also, I think he was involved. But then, by then, he was already ill. And then even before the ashram started, he went away. That is where I think your dad was blessed, I think.
Took over, yes.
He was the one who was involved. That is how I think he completely, that's how he completely got there, linked with Arunachala. And then, even when our house, this house was constructed, it used to be an independent house, and this was constructed when my mother wanted to have these satsangs. That's when they decided to build that hall on the terrace. Because they sent an exclusive wood for it. So that is where all the, you know about it, right? Almost all satsangs were held there. It was separate.
Sarnagar was the main satsang. Hyderabad main satsang was only Sarnagar. Because once Nanagaru started coming to your house, the upstairs, the fifth floor room was exclusively for satsang. And every Monday satsang in entire Hyderabad was only in SR Nagar.
Yeah.
And it continues to be the main satsang. It continued to be the main satsang for the past 15 years. And many speakers came. Of course, Nagalakshmi being the main speaker, the others also had come. My sister Padma had come. Vivekanandanagar Padma had come.
The best teachers came here for doing
best
satsang.
Best teachers, yes. and now I think Rajeshwari is continued till the corona time. She was the one who, I mean, she's mastered the satsang and she's doing it online every day now.
She's doing it online every day now. True.
And
I think had complete faith in him over time. And anytime I had any problem, I wanted to discuss with him. He would say, not with me, discuss with Nanagaru. Do what he says. That's the kind of faith he had. And several times before he passed away, he told me, don't ever leave Nanagaru. He told me not to leave my job and Nanagaru. Both he used to tell me. And of course, and he was very clear on that. Just, that is the best for you, he used to keep telling me. And then I think 1 year before he passed away, it was a miracle actually. He felt critically ill. And then he was admitted in the hospital, and mother called Dr. Ramarao Garu and told him, please go and tell Nanagaru. So he came and told Nanagaru. Doctors were fighting to revive him, and they told us, we cannot tell for the next 1 hour. We'll do our best to revive him and all that. But Ramarao Garu, when he went and told Nanagaru, Nanagaru just told him to sit, and he started talking about my dad. Just everything he knew about him. You know, about his qualities, about his work, all that, he just went on talking. Ramarao Garu was waiting for a word of assurance. He wanted to tell us, but he would not stop. He went on talking. And I think after some time, maybe half an hour, 1 hour, he said, okay, now you call and tell them, he'll be all right. That was the moment doctors came out and told us, he's out of danger. He was working on him while he was talking, all the doctors were doing all that. So he revived him from that. And then, and after that, he was, I think internally he got very more and more close to him. So over a year later, actually, he again fell ill. that was, but that that is a different kind of an incident. He was, I think when he fell ill also, he was in total bliss. Because he went to Vizag for the Deepam. Nanagaru was in Vizag and then Deepam was being celebrated there. I don't know why he got this urge that he has wanted to go there. He was actually in the midst of some very important court cases and all. He was very busy. But he just said, I want to go to Nanagaru. I want to see him. So he just went to Vizag. And then he stayed with my brother-in-law, my brother's in brother-in-law's place. Rajangarani, she's also a devotee, not of Nanagaru, but TVV Bakralu. But she also used to visit Nanagaru whenever he came to Vizag. So she accompanied him because Nanagaru's dad also was not very healthy. She was accompanying him wherever he, whenever he, wherever he went to see Nanagaru. So during Deepam, she said she was completely overwhelmed. She was saying how much love he the Nanagaru shows on your dad. It is really wonderful to watch, is what she was telling me. Then after Deepam, he went to Samalgaru's place and dad went to see him there because he was leaving that evening to Hyderabad. And then when they went there, Nanagaru kept on repeatedly telling, I don't know if you were there at that time, he repeatedly kept telling dad, don't go, please stay on, please stay on, please stay on another 2 days.
Yeah, okay.
And then
he pleaded him not to leave. He pleaded him not to leave Vizag.
He was absolutely, that's what she told me, he was there, really begging him, pleading him, don't go, don't go. But then dad said, no, I have these court cases and they are all, you know, scheduled, I have to go and all that. Even I asked him to stay. And Nanagaru also told him, baby is coming, you stay and all that. Then when dad was leaving, she told me, that aunt told me, Nanagaru got up, came and gave him a hug and would not leave him. He was just holding him tight is what she told me. And she was saying he would not leave him. So I was, she was completely, you know, struck by the way he was being loved and all that. And then slowly dad left and then she was telling me on the way back home and she was taking to the station, he was in such a high state of bliss and talking all the time. She was saying she was so worried about him. She was hoping that, you know, he might become weak and all that. Why is he so, you know, he's not able to stop himself. Anyway, he got on the train. But as soon as he got off the train, he just collapsed on the platform. 5 days he was in a coma. And then he passed away. And all the time, Nanagaru was in touch with us. He used to keep calling, finding out, asking. And then I think 2 days after he passed away, mother wanted to, you know, call Arunachalam and Ramanashram. She wanted to do that Atma Shanti Puja and, you know, do that Narayana Seva, all that she wanted to do. But everywhere we called, we were told Nanagaru already did. You don't have to do anything. So
that's really
on his mind. So then I think on the 14th day he came here, you will remember that probably, because he spoke for two hours about my dad. I think you, Rama, all of you were there. So
all of us were there.
Yeah.
He spoke really long about uncle, no? Like almost 2 and a half hours about his work, about his discipline, about his devotion, about his dedication. Yeah. I mean...
And then one thing he said about there was, what we all should learn from him is his sattva guna. His positive nature. Yeah, that's what he told. He was telling, he kept on repeating that. And he told me I should always be grateful to him because... you are there?
Yeah. I think I'm getting a call. I'll switch it off 1 minute. Huh?
Yeah.
The problem is we get a call in between. This video gets disconnected.
And again, 1 year later, exactly on the anniversary of the day he came. So Nanagaru told us, I just happened, I came here, but he knows everything. He was there again. And at that time he said, I am taking care of Engineer Garu. He will go he will go to higher birth. This is my conviction, is what he said that day. And then I think you will remember that too, Usha. I believe when you all went to, I think Jaya told us that when you all went to that Rishi case in Gaya and all.
Yes, he did it.
Yeah. And I believe when Jaya suggested me. Sorry?
yeah. He was so close to his heart. These people, maybe like last time, no, like Savitri aunty spoke, Ramchandra Murthy Raj Garu and your dad, Engineer Garu.
Yeah.
These people, certain personalities, they were so, they did work like worship. They did work like worship.
Yeah, true.
They were so disciplined with their life. And they were so sattvic.
True.
And as, always Bhagwan or Nangaru, both of them always address this. Unless you live like you are in deep sleep state, suppose now, we have all the attributes of ego when we are awake, right? Like all of us, we start our day, we end our day with the sleep, right? So during day, egoless behavior, egoless talk, egoless behavior, not entertaining any negativity in your mind, constantly striving to be good, to do good, to be good, and not to identify with your goodness. And not to identify with goodness is the most supreme thing. See, people can be good, people can do good is a great thing, but not to identify as a person that you are the doer or you are doing this.
True.
So like totally, you know, doing just the work for the sake of work and leaving the result to God. I mean, very few rare personalities of among devotees that we've seen, and they were never visible on the screen.
Yeah.
It's like Antar Kada. These people live like that. These people live like they do not exist, but the divine work through them was visible so clearly. And for this, a great discipline is required, Sri Devi. A great discipline is required in the mind for people to live like that. And they were beautiful examples of Nangaru devotees who worked like Hanuman. Like Hanuman to Ram, they worked. Without selfishness.
Actually, when you're I remember one thing he used to tell. Sometimes when you see these, you know, people who have had big achievements suddenly, you know, collapsing, I asked my dad, how do they... It acts like that. We go through so many troubles. We are all right. How does that happen? Then he said, see, those people are like fully grown trees. We are like the grass on the ground. So when there is a storm, the grass only bends and comes back to normal. The trees just get uprooted, is what he told me. And you know what was endearing, so endearing to us, there was when the Pandapradhanam was being done. I believe he told, when she was, he asked her for the names of devotees. When she gave this name, I believe he said, he is in my heart. You don't have to tell me his name. Tell me other names is what he said, I believe.
Yes, he also heard that. which is outright honor, right? Outright honorable to uncle. It's like, you know, like he's not a part of Jivas. He's part of me, Paramatma.
Yeah, true.
And the Jeeva is not a part of me, but he's not a
part
of me. He's not a part of me. He's not a part of me. But engineer is not a part of me. He's not a part
of me.
What an honor. I mean, that coming out of Nangaru's mouth, great statement out of Nangaru's mouth is such an honorable thing for uncle baby. I mean, exemplified ga, if he lived, he could earn that position with Nanagaru. See, you can earn position on in the earth by earning a lot of money or becoming wealthy or being in a status or you know, a lot of materialistic things. But to earn place in God's heart is not an easy thing at all. Because for that, you need to sacrifice your very being. You need to sacrifice your very being if you have to be exalted in God's, you know, heart. So, and you were so blessed to have him as your father, he being such a wonderful, disciplined, devoted man. And I think you inherit a lot of his discipline, actually.
I don't know, not much, I think. He was much more greater than me. But one thing, I think around 2016, he again recalled my, we were sitting in that that place in Sanjaka's house, no, in Jinnuru. And just the 4 or 5 of us were there, Ramarao Garu, Sanjaka, and me and Lakshmi, just the people who knew Nanagaru, my dad were there. And then suddenly Nanagaru started talking about him. He spoke about him for so long. And then he said, I am taking care of him. He was a very good man, good person. I am taking care of him. I am taking care of him. He kept repeatedly saying that. So, you know, his journey is linked with him wherever he is. Is what we felt at that time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Then a little about my mother. Yeah. She is a completely different personality, outgoing, very social. She loved holding satsangs. She would love to take people to Jinnuru. She would go to Jinnuru and Arunachalam only to take people there, new people, introduce them to them. She would take them, you know. She had the best, greatest pleasure in bringing people and showing them happiness. That's what she did to me and Dad also.
Also.
So we grumbled. That's what she was doing to us. Actually, she is basically a very generous person, loved to give people.
Yes, very generous. It doesn't matter what she possesses in life. She just wanted to give away all that love, warmth and affection and food.
Yeah.
She is Annapurna to all of us.
And then, you know, she is the medium through which not only my dad and me, several people came to Nanagaru because she was making sure a lot of people went to me. And then when the satsangs all started at our home, she made sure that they happened regularly, whether she was in Hyderabad, whether she was in whether rain, whether storm, whether sun, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing could stop satsang at SR Nagar. She would make sure satsang was conducted.
And then she was, you know, very enthusiastically she did all the events, Bhagwan's birthday, you know, Deepam and all that. She took the greatest pleasure doing all those things. So I think Nanagaru wanted to bless her that way. So he started coming here.
Yeah.
Remember, again, you were also there. I was the instrument in actually asking him to come here. After that, he never picked my name. That same afternoon, to her amazement and to her delight, I think, he said, I am going to Asar Nagar from next time to Indrigaru's house. She asked me to come. And she was completely like, what?
Flabbergasted, because it was, I mean, a sudden shock. It was, you know, like, we didn't expect it from him.
Yeah.
He just suddenly chose to come, that's all.
Yeah, exactly. And then after that, whenever the first visit he came, he just told me, like you were saying, he just told me, you go and do your duty. You are a working person. I have come and I will do my duty here. You go and do your duty. The first day he told me. So, you just go your way, I will go my way. You just go, he said. And then he would insist.
So it was like, baby, I think people did not know that you belonged here. We only, and many people knew, only Indira aunty.
Yes.
And you were not even like other devotees. You were like a stranger to the house. You would just go, even before anybody arrived, you would mind your business, you would take care of your things, you would leave the house and come back silently and sit among the devotees at the back.
True.
Yeah. And you remained like that all through, huh?
Interestingly, I would have all my important meetings at work when he visited. And then and not Sunday, and then the funnily
Sunday was the only day you had the liberty to sit at least at a distance for the whole day.
And Nanagaru used to ask, today is Sunday, he would ask if I was there.
Correct.
And then, you know, during his visit, he would completely ignore me. He would not even talk to me sometimes. He would come and go, not even, and I would just be around. That's it.
No, he behaved as if it's his home and you are a visitor.
Absolutely.
It's like he came to your house. It's not like your house, it's like his house.
Yeah.
You people are just guests to his house, that's all.
Yeah. And then I did nothing, really speaking. It was Nagalakshmi, mom, my mother, who did everything. They were burdened with all the duties related to the Nanagaru's visit, organizing things, arranging things. I was like a silent spectator. They did everything.
Yes.
You know, and then in the initial visits, he came so frequently that they would just, you know, tear their hair because by the time they finished, he would be back again. By the time they settled down, he would be back again.
Because Hyderabad was quite often, his visits to Hyderabad were very, very often, right? He visited quite frequently.
Yeah.
For many, many years.
Yeah.
The last few years, because of his ill health, he couldn't travel much. But I think for more than two decades, Hyderabad visit, he did at least six times a year.
Yeah, true. That's how it was. Even before you completed, you thought he went away, he would be back again.
And also like
and
10 to 11 years,
he would never tell my mother or me. Either you, Nagalakshmi, or somebody would call and tell us, Nanagar is coming tomorrow.
Yes.
So that's how it used to be.
Yes.
And then he always used to say, very sweetly, he would come here and tell, he just floored my mother when he, you know, he took her to the highest state of bliss when he said, when he used to say, after coming here, I came home, he would say.
Yeah.
And he would call that room where he slept, that's my iron safe, he would say.
That room.
Yeah.
The room he stayed in. Oh.
Yeah. And then when he came, he used to say, Amma.
In English, you call it the treasure box. So he said, S.R. Nagar's room was his treasure box.
And he used to say, Man intiko chesinattundi, Amma. Man intiko chesinattundi. He used to say when he came here.
Yeah.
I think that was something, the highest point of bliss he gave her also. And then a little about her aunt, actually, her faith was so total that she used to, you know, completely she would say he would take care. And then twice she was critically ill, once with cancer and once because of a cardiac arrest. Both the times, she says with a total conviction, he was there. It was not the doctors who treated me. It was he who treated me. And he was there next to me all the time. Even now, she says when she's alone at home, suddenly when she wakes up in the night, she feels he's there next to her. Sometimes she puts her hand out to touch. Like that she feels. So
really?
That's something I think, closeness. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's so blessed, the baby. She's so, so blessed.
She's
so blessed because it was all selfless work. They never had anything for themselves. They never wanted anything for themselves. It was always others, others. We have to treat others well. We have to feed others well. We have to, you know, give space for others. We have to give, be welcoming to everybody. Make them sit with Nanagaru. Benefit out of him. So it was never about yourself. It was about only others.
Yeah, true. I never like that, actually. My mother and father, I am not so good, but they were like that.
No. You can't say you were not good. You were an introvert and you minded your business. That's all.
True. I am saying all this, but I don't know. I have to prepare myself so much because when I write, I get the clarity, not when I'm talking. But the rest of the family, I must say, were... They all respected Nanagaru. They all supported us in our journey. But I think they were quite okay, but I think we were the real close people to Nanagaru, I think. And my uncle, my pinni's machinana, he came only once to Arunachalam. For the first visit, he, my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, and then, Vijay Lakshma aunty, Kamala aunty, Parvati aunty, all these people, and we were all, that was the first visit we made to Arunachalam. With Nanagaru's guidance, he was guiding us all through the visit. That is one visit placed in my memory, as a very pleasant memory for me. So that was the only time my uncle, I think, was associated. And then once, I think, when he visited our house and all. But at the end, I still think that also is a miracle. When Nanagaru's Sannidhi was being built, my aunt told him, I want you to give some donation. He did not even say it. He just quickly went to the room, brought out 1 lakh rupees, and he said, this is for the Sannidhi. Again, that I think, there was no bond. He wouldn't do it otherwise. Because he was not a devotee. That's about all of them. And then
so coming to you. Coming to you.
Well, I must say, from young age, I have always been a kind of not too much worldly, because for me, worldly attractions were always cool. But I had other problems. Okay, and then I used to read a lot of spiritual books. I used to listen to spiritual discourses. I was, for some time, I went to Chinmayananda's, I would visit him and also write letters to him sometimes. Very little, but I was not actively looking for a guru or anything. And then, I had kind of an aversion for the Babas and Sai Baba and all that, because I think what magic is doing. And then what is there? I have all these books to read, and then I had all respect for the gurus who were past, not current gurus. Somehow I was like that. And then suddenly I think I went through my usual course of life, marriage, education and all that. Again, and at the same time when all of us met Nanagaru in mid-91, I was going through this huge crisis. Big change in life, marriage at broken and all that, all troubles I was having. And then I could not see an end to the troubles. I was going through them for several years actually, and they were at a peak at that time. Yeah. And then suddenly one day, I was actually at that time I was in a real stress, because I came away from my husband and I was feeling terribly not sure whether I did the right thing. At that time, my brother-in-law passed away. His wife also went away. Both of them had a lot of problems, both the brothers. So when my brother-in-law passed away, I had to go and visit my mother-in-law. That night, I was sleeping there in their house. Suddenly, I had this very, very vivid dream. Even now, I remember every detail of the dream. We were in this big house, and then several people, several ladies and very few men were waiting around. And then this car comes and this man, this Puttaparthi Sai Baba gets out of the car.
Oh, really?
And then he walks in and he starts walking in. And then while he's Puttaparthi Baba, the way he's dressed and all, he's like the Shirdi Baba. Every detail I remember even now. His hair, the big mane of hair was spare. And then he was quite frail. I always thought he is a hefty man. And then he walked into the house, and then these people welcomed him. He was sitting, and then devotees were sitting around him. Then he went into his room. The same schedule that we have when Nanagaru comes and visits. The entire thing was enacted in the dream. He was in his afternoon things, and then people sitting around and he giving a discourse, and then he's sitting at the dining table and having his food. All that came into the dream. Every incident was there in the dream. And then after that, suddenly we've moved into another scene. There was this hill, several hills, and Sai Baba was lying down like this, with his hand on this head on his hand. He was lying down on the grass there. And I was sitting next to him and telling him all these problems I have. I don't know when I will get out of them. And all that I was going on telling him, is there no end to these problems? And then, so, and then he kept on listening to me, and then suddenly he said, wait for 3 months. That was the end of the dream. I came out of that. That was sometime in June, July. And I met Nanagaru in September.
And then, wow. So those then, whom you didn't believe in, all of them visited you in your dream, blessed you, told you everything, and then they introduced you to Nanagaru.
The thing is, I also needed worldly security. So I got a job sometime in mid-August. Few weeks later, I met Nanagaru. So everything, all came into my life at
fell in
time.
Place. Everything in fell in place. When you were confused about, is it right for me? What is my next?
So,
what a beautiful guidance, baby.
And the thing is, what was beautiful about that is, he sent these messages to me through that body which I did not like at all. So he was taking off that negativity for gurus and from my mind before, he even came into my life.
Before he came inside, he made sure you get rid of all the wrong notions.
All the wrong notions had to be removed.
Yeah.
and then of course I went to Puttaparthi because I felt I had to pay my respect.
Yeah, the gratitude.
So I
made
my aunt and my mother, everyone came together because at that time they were trying to be very nice to me, all of them. They were supporting me. I was going through this person. All of them along with me. So then we went there, and then after that, just one visit I did. And I only remember him with respect. After that, there is no link with him to me.
Yeah.
And then slowly I started, I already explained to you how we went to Nanagaru with my dad.
For the
and
first
all.
Time with your dad,
A year to be completely, hooked to him. I used to go in between. I would visit Begumpet Manalakshmigaru's mother's place, where he used to give sometimes discourses on the terrace. And then after the discourse, I was walking out, he called me. Did you like what I said? He said, I said, yes, it was very nice. Then he said, did you think to yourself, this man, this old man, he repeats and repeats and repeats everything. Like that, did you think? He said. And I was completely taken aback because I was sitting there thinking that.
ఏంటి ముసలాయన ఇంత చాదస్తంగా చెప్పిందే చెప్పి చెప్పిందే చెప్పి చెప్తున్నారు అనుకుంటున్నావా అమ్మా అన్నారా.
And then over time, slowly he kept on explaining this to me. And then once he told me, Amma, and if I chapaka pote, it won't, register in your brain. That is why I have to repeat it. And he also told us, the repetition is to, because there were so many hundreds of people sitting around him. So, one word you may get it, but some others may need a repetition.
And also it's like this, baby. See, now all of us in life, we keep going through many things. Like everybody has their own share of merit, demerit. They have their share of, struggles in the work, struggles in family, or lot of things in life. So each one, each one has their own habituations and their own mindsets. So when he's addressing everybody, he needs to fulfill everybody's
satisfied.
He should satisfy everybody's mental, emotional, and spiritual quest. First, he needs to clear us all of our doubts. He has to establish us in our faith. He has to give us mental peace first so that we understand what he speaks.
That's true.
And once that peace is, he would... If you have, all of us know it, all of us have witnessed this. The moment he comes, for 5 minutes, he just observes everyone.
I was about to say that. Absolutely right,
So he would just...
He would, until everybody is connected.
Until everybody, he makes an eye contact with everybody, be it hundreds or thousands of people, he would just make, it's like a scanner, no? When a body goes, you have a scan of the body part.
Absolutely.
He would scan each and every soul in the arena, in the surrounding him. And he would get us all into our source where there is actual silence.
Absolutely.
You know, we would all be stuck in the head thinking this, thinking that, thinking this, 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 this.
So
preoccupied in the mind because we would have left home and gone, or we would have just fed our child, or we would have come from office running, something, you know, like we would, in the busy schedule, we would go sit with him and he would first clear us of all the mental conditioning.
True. You would do that.
Beautiful, loving glance.
Yeah.
He would bring our mind into the source, get us connected to him, and then start his
pravachan. And then only start. Yeah.
Start his pravachan. And after starting also, he would repeat everything he spoke, so that even if you have distracted your mind for a while, you again come back. Even if you're sleepy, suppose you had your, you know, lunch, full lunch, and came there and you're sleepy. He would just shake you with a word. Though you're sleeping, suppose you're very sleepy. After a point of time, maybe 10 minutes, he wouldn't let you sleep more than 5 to 10 minutes. He would come up with a point so straight into you that you would be shaken up.
Yeah, true.
Oh my God, this is for me. This is for me. And you are totally aware and alert.
Yeah.
And repetition was so important for all of us.
Yeah. And then, actually, you know, it reminds me, remember, he used to make us, we would be, all of us, you know, 10 in a room, I think, enough for 50 people, 200 of us, crammed and waiting for us. And then he would walk in and say, you all have been waiting, you may be thinking you have wasted your time, but if there are any beautiful moments in your life, these are the beautiful moments.
They are only these. The most beautiful moments, even if it was waiting, the time spent waiting for him, the time spent listening to him, the time spent in his holy presence were the only auspicious days in our life, I think, maybe. We are continued to be blessed. We continue to feel his presence, but the dynamic presence of holiness.
Mm.
And, you know, that mind getting calm by itself, naturally.
And
being connected to the divine completely without diversion could happen only in his presence.
Yes, true.
And we were so fortunate that we spent years with him. And as you said, again, it's not our merit or our doing. He just attracted us and kept us with him to make sure we attained the state he wanted to bestow on us.
You may not realize that at the moment it happens, but when you look back, it is very clear how he has worked to get you into and made you do things, you know, using you, and then, you know, it's made changes in you, and you think that it is you who have made that change, but actually it takes a while to understand that it's he who made that change. And, you know, the first meeting I had with him, when I had the first conversation I had with him individually in his room, mother organized it in the initial days. That was in Savitri Mama's house. And then as I walked in, I said, what do I tell him? And then she said, no, you go and talk to him. So I went into his room and I said, come sit with me. And then he said, Amma, what is your problem? He said. And I said, what is there to talk? I talked everything. I told him all my problems like I told him the dream. I kept on talking, kept on. I would not stop. And then he listened to me entirely. He kept on telling me, you have gone through a lot, my dear. You have gone through a lot and all that. And then he said, and then suddenly, you know, I always had this, when I was going through my troubles, I used to think, God, only why am I having all these problems? People are okay. Why should I, only I have so many problems? That kind of thought used to come to me before that. But then I think he must have been working on me already. Because that day, while he was listening to me, suddenly I said it without even my own thinking. I said, no, I'm not asking you to remove my troubles. I'm just asking you to give me the strength to face them.
Wow.
And then he just looked at me like this. You know, that the way his face lights up and expands like this. And he said,
he's so pleased by the way you know, like, your perspective that it's not that you want to come out of troubles or you're asking to clear your troubles, but just give me the strength to face anything that comes in life.
Yeah.
That's a lot of maturity.
It is, I don't know, but I think, again, see, I did not think like that before. So it shows that he has worked on me and he involuntarily he brought that out of me. And then, you know, only when you say that, you realize, yes, that is what we need in your life. You need to know how to face these. And then you start, you know, actually doing those things. Rather
so
than
it's
you
like this. Yeah, it is. That's why it's like push and pull.
Yeah.
He gives you intuition. He gives you the question. He gives you the answer. And in this process only we realize we are nothing.
Yeah.
It's him that was working all through.
He wrote out his address for me on a piece of paper. It is still there. He asked for
it. Bring it a little forward. Show it again.
Wait, I'll show you. This is what he wrote. He asked for a piece of... He said, I will write my address for you. He asked for a pen. Somebody gave him a paper. Somebody tore a paper from their book and a pen. And then he sat, wrote it down, and he gave it to me. I still
why did he give you the address, by the way?
Huh?
Why did he give you the address, by the way?
He told me to write to him.
Oh. Yeah, you please turn the screen. Change the camera to you.
Sorry? Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, he told me.
He told you to write to him.
Yes. So, I wrote a few letters, but then after that, he got his telephone. He would pick up all the calls, so it became telephone conversations.
That's really nice to hear, because I haven't heard so far him telling any devotee to write to him.
Is that so? I thought he used to ask people to write to him.
No. As far as I have heard, maybe he did, maybe one or two of them. But as far as I know, he hasn't told anybody to write a letter to him. I mean, I have heard from one or two, maybe one devotee, that's all. Not even more than one.
He asked me to write to him. And then
maybe Sridevi, even this makes sense because you have a very beautiful written expression.
Okay.
And probably he wanted you to start it by writing a letter to him.
Probably. I don't know. Maybe.
This is really, really beautiful.
Yeah. You know, Sanjay used to tell me, when you write a letter, when you have some issue or some struggle and you want to get out of it, when you write to Nanagar, she used to say sometimes even while you are writing, the struggle would disappear.
Your problem is solved. Correct.
Even when you post the letter and the letter comes into his hand, he does not even have to read it. Your struggle would disappear, she would tell me.
Right. Probably, I think this is something which devotees could actually follow even today. I mean, from this satsang, from your words, probably people can, our devotees can afford to write their heart out if they cannot speak it out, if they cannot express it to anybody else. They could directly write a letter to the Divine, letter to God, letter to Nanagaru, and then read it for him. And then, though you can't post it now, you can just tear it off and put it in the bin. So that you have expressed it to him if you could not speak it out to him.
Yeah.
And then, it makes sense that God sees through it.
Yeah. And then, I think when you talk about his teaching, I would say the most important part of his teaching, according to me, what I understood is trying to bring us out of our wrong thinking. That, I think, is what. Because at every point we had wrong notions about things, about bhakti, about God, about life, about devotion. Everything was, difficult thinking before we came to him.
Yes.
He showed us the change has to come inside, not externally.
Yes.
Because otherwise we would not have known that. It may seem like, well, we all know it now because we have been hearing him for so long. But when we came to him, it was a completely radical idea for us.
As you said, it was an extreme wrong notion of devotion, of dedication, of hard work. Everything made true sense only after he spoke.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, yeah. We have to agree then, this because, or else we wouldn't even have known that the divine is within.
Yeah.
The other thing, and we would have never known that the fault lies here, not outside. And if you rectify yourself, everything is cool.
Yeah.
And also, this also, no, baby, he would also like, you know, like world is a reflection. You are here to learn. You're not just here to eat and sleep. You, all of us go through experiences in life. We learn through them. We evolve through them. If you are with the right perspective, if you are with the right thinking, the positive thinking,
the very
outlook about the world changes.
Absolutely. You're right.
And once you realize that it is you that has to be rectified, not the world around you. And once you have come out of your ego, you enjoy the peace and bliss within. And then you realize there is no others. It's all you that is, I mean, like it's the same state. It's absolutely one God. Once you experience it, it's that is within and without. And there's no second.
Yeah.
How would we ever even comprehend that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That there are no others.
You know, now you, it will seem like normal to you, but in the early days, it used to hit you like that. Oh my God, this is what we thought. And then, you know, it's not as if we even doubted it. The minute he said it, we realized that's the way it should be.
Yes. Yeah, that's because he was the truth himself, no baby.
Absolutely.
See, if it is a person with the attributes or with the mental condition, he was the truth, he was the divine himself. So, whatever he spoke with authority, the truth with authority. And we just had to accept it because that's the truth.
Truth.
So, it was a conviction. The word that came out of his mouth was a conviction, and we had the faith that this is the truth, that's it.
That is the truth, absolutely. And the other thing was the practicality in his teaching. He always said, you don't have to do anything extra, just live your daily life right.
Yes.
That is what he always told us. In your day-to-day life, what you face, how you handle it, how you go through it, that is what is most important is what he used to tell us. There is nothing called spirituality separate from your life. You know, that is again, that is the idea for us.
Yeah, because, absolutely, baby. As you said, we always, you know, like we used to discriminate. Okay, worldly life is different, spiritual life is different.
Yeah.
So spiritual people are something different. So he dissolved this notion that world, you or materialistic, spiritual, there's no barrier or there's no differentiation. Your very life, the living your life right is spirituality, and you don't need to discriminate between you and others because there are no others.
They are no others.
It's a wrong notion that makes you think or that makes you feel separate from others.
And you know, Usha, I had a lot of drawbacks. Like, you know, I had low self-confidence. And I had this very strong feeling of doing a job perfectly. Not because I want to do a job perfectly, but because I did not want people to point fingers at me. I could not take insults. I used to be like that, you know. Even now I have it a little, but it's in a lesser form. But I know it is a little extra for me because I see all of you. All of us get affected by all this. But I had that very intense kind of
intensely. Okay.
I felt it very intensely. So I would do a job well only because I don't want anyone to point fingers at me. Used to be like that. And then I had this such low self-confidence and then, you know, I used to have this, my God, it's all my fault. That kind of a feelings I used to have. Remember when you may not remember this, but all three of you, this was the very early days, we're sitting with him, and then he was telling all the positive qualities all through three of you had, and then he said one of the most important qualities that is absolutely required for spiritual thing all three of you have is Atma Viswasam. He said you three sisters.
So this is something you're reminding me of. I have actually forgotten.
And then you know what he did? immediately, I was sitting at the back somewhere, he immediately turned and he said, Atma Viswasam Undali. The way he said it, you know, as if he was like, you know, admonishing.
It was like, yeah. Bettam pattukuni.
Yeah, yeah.
Have it, have it.
And then after that, kind of hit me like that. And then after I came home, everything, any book I opened, it was about Atma Viswasam. It was like that.
Yeah. But believe in yourself. Believe in yourself.
Yeah. But then he gave, circumstances also helped. You know, he told me not to ever leave my job, gave me some confidence. My circumstances improved. And then all this teaching, the way, you know, the mind was assimilating it, slowly I got some confidence. And, you know, low confidence, it hurts you a lot. And then one, he did in our house, he just called me again. Again, the same kind of, you know, intense, very strong look at me. And he said, Ninnu nevo himsinchukotam, jeeva himsato samanam, he told me. These are all the early things.
Yes, we would, repeat this in English, like when you were, you know, like humiliating yourself, something wrong goes, and you humiliate yourself rather than the situation or others, because actually it's also a part of people being very good to others, you know, like when something goes wrong, you blame yourself and nothing else for it, and that's also a type of... I think it comes for good people spontaneously, that you can't blame anybody, so you blame yourself.
Yeah.
And which is very beautifully explained by Nangaru, that like you can't hurt others or you can't blame others, you can't hurt yourself and nor blame yourself also.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't blame yourself
is,
also.
This is another new perspective also, baby, which generally nobody else addresses much. That you shouldn't harm yourself.
Yeah.
With your thinking, don't harm yourself, don't humiliate yourself, because you belong to me.
Absolutely.
He's like, everybody belongs to me, so do you. Don't hurt yourself. Don't think less of yourself. Don't underestimate yourself.
Absolutely.
The pain that all in ante mana balahinatalannintini address chesi, he, you know, like pulled us from that whirlpool nunchi. He just pulled us up.
He would do that. Actually, he told me, you understand the subject very well, baby, you understand the subject well. So I said, I don't need that understanding, Nangaru, because I don't practice it. In practice I fail all the time, so how can it be called understanding? He said no, initially you have to understand it, the essence has to go to you, and then you have to feel, you have to start enjoying it, you have to start thinking, accepting as truth, then you will practice it. So
beautiful.
He used to say in that, you know, each sense.
So much encouragement about, and also this another very beautiful thing about him, baby, he would always, you know, like he would keep us in such a high pedestal.
Yeah.
On one side, telling us to live a egoless life, at the same time, highlighting you because you are the inner self yourself.
Yeah.
Because you are not different from him. Your true self is nothing but the all-pervasiveness. The beauty within is you and not the ego you. So he would keep specifying the ego and its drawbacks, and the ill health it brings, the suffering it brings, the sorrow it brings, and telling you that that is not you, that was never you. So don't identify with it and don't humiliate yourself. And don't look at others also like that. It's me in them, it's me in you, and that is your true self. And he would keep us connected to him in such a beautiful way that we would feel the same beauty, the same peace, the same divine attributes as he did, because we were identifying with him rather than us.
Yes.
And that was the reason for the quick upliftment and transformation.
Yeah.
That's a very beautiful way of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I must tell you how he, there was one incident, which again, you know, always when I think about it, even now my hair raises, you know, when his, you know, we all think bhakti means what? What is devotion? Devotion means, you know, constantly repeating God's name, doing a lot of rituals. So again, that he told us, what is bhakti? Bhakti is accepting whatever comes to you.
Yeah.
So you get, so you should not react whatever comes to you, is what he used to say. Whether good happens, or bad comes to you, if you are able to take it without reaction, that is bhakti. That means you are accepting God.
Yeah.
If you are able to remember God for his, just for the sake of God, and then if you akaranaṅga meeku prem kodutunte, adi bhakti, he used to say.
And not with the trade, but love for the sake of love.
Love for the sake of love. And then when I used to think about it, and then once I went and told him, Nangaru bhakti sarpatledandi naaku annanu. Then he said, nee anchana correct ma, he said. So
ante nijanga saripada bhakti unte mukti vachestundi kabatti it was a correct statement for you as well as all of us, not only for all of us.
Yeah,
so bhakti correct ga unte mukti vacheyali.
Here, your assessment is right. And then he put his hand. But I will take care of you, he said.
So beautiful. So beautiful.
And then he said, can you do a task for me? I said, yeah, I will do it. He said, okay, close the door. I have to talk to you. And then I closed the door. And then he started telling me, you see, one of the devotees, I don't know, suddenly out of the blue he came out of this. One of the devotees gave me 1 lakh rupees. They want me to send it to the Kashi for them as a donation. Hmm. But it will take a few months. In the meantime, can you keep this money for me? He said, I said, fine, I will keep it. Can you deposit it? Thank you, he asked. I said, yeah, I can fix the deposit. It will be separate, so it won't get mixed up with other things. And then you will also get a good interest. I can put it there. He said, yeah, you do that job for me. I will take care of you. He said,
I'll take care of you. What a sweet way of saying that. What a sweet way of saying that.
And he was brilliant. He never called me on his own. Generally, he never calls me on his own. Very rarely, once or twice, I think somebody else used to call and they would say, Nangar, just once or twice. But at this time, for the next, I think, 5 or 6 months, he called me at least 7 or 8, or more than that, I think, almost twice a month. Directly, the call would come. I wouldn't know when the call can come. It can come in the afternoon, night, day, anytime. Amma, baby, nenu nanagarini matladutunnanu. He used to say. ee time meeku matladochcha amma? He used to ask.
Enta mudduga vachette varu.
What did you do? The money is in the deposit. 1 or 2 questions. Then he would put down the phone. He kept on calling me like this, kept on calling me, and I don't know when he would call. And you know, even now, when I think about it, you know, his way of reminding me all the time, he kind of crowded my mind and heart. I don't know. He was full of me all the time. And then, you know, now when I think of it, I have this kind of, you know, goose pimples on
goosebumps.
Me.
It was focusing himself on you.
Yeah.
And Migthayanni,
you give that money, somebody will come and collect that money from you, you give it to them. Yeah. And he told me the amount to give. And he said, what, the rest of the money, you take it out. And he was so clear, along with the interest, bring it all and give it to me in Jinuru, he said. And then after I gave it to him, he said, you did your job well. I will also do my job, he said.
So sweet, huh? The way he would give us work, you know, like he does not actually require anything. Teaching us how to work, teaching us the responsibility, teaching us to be trustworthy, teaching us to be disciplined. And then also at the same time, bringing our attention completely to him rather than the worldly affairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so many things in one shot.
And you know, at another time, once I was leaving, after Jinnuru, I was going back to Hyderabad, I went to tell him, I am leaving now. And then he said, Amma, ika atma jnana vastundi. You will be self-realized, he said. And then he said, you will have bliss. You will experience great bliss. You will be self-realized, he started saying. Well, he says that to Balaji. I said, yeah, I was just smiling and saying, yeah, you say that to all of us. I was just thinking inside me. He looked at me and he said, you think I am saying this lightly? Sardar Chiptana Ampunava? I am saying this with complete conviction, he said. నేను నిజంగా చెప్తున్నానమ్మా
ఏదో మాట వరుసకి కాదు నిజంగా చెప్తున్నాను
చెప్తున్నానమ్మా నీకు తప్పనిసరిగా వస్తుంది నీకే కాదు ఇక్కడ అందరికీ వస్తుంది ఈ జన్మలోను ఇంకో జన్మలోను ఇంకో నాలుగు జన్మల తర్వాత వస్తుంది అంటిల్ దెన్ డోంట్ లెర్న్ నాట్ టు వెయిట్ విత్ ఎక్స్పెక్టేషన్ డోంట్ వెయిట్ విత్ ఎక్స్పెక్టేషన్ జస్ట్ డూ వాట్ టు అటైన్ ఇట్
ఆయన మనకి కేటాయించిన పని శ్రద్ధగా చేస్తూ ఫలితం ఆశించకుండా నీ పని నువ్వు శ్రద్ధగా చేసుకుంటూ వెళ్ళు ఎక్స్పెక్టేషన్ పెట్టుకోవద్దు వెన్ ఇట్ హ్యాస్ టు కమ్ ఇట్ విల్ కమ్ అండ్ ఎన్గల్ఫ్ యూ అండ్ ఓన్లీ దిస్ టైమ్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ బట్ అ లిటిల్ మోర్ ప్రిపరేషన్ టు రైపెన్ అస్ బికాస్ లోపల వస్తువు ఎంత పవిత్రంగా ఉందో అంత పవిత్రంగా జీవుడు అవ్వకుండా ఆత్మాకారం చెందదు కాబట్టి అంటే హౌ ప్యూర్ హౌ టోటలీ బ్లిస్ఫుల్లీ ప్యూర్ ద యునో లైక్ ద ఇన్నర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఈస్ అన్లెస్ యూ బికమ్ దట్ యూ డోంట్ బికమ్ వన్ సో దిస్ ఈస్ నథింగ్ బట్ యువర్ ట్రైనింగ్ యువర్ యునో రైపనింగ్ ప్రాసెస్ అండ్ దిస్ విల్ టేక్ అ లిటిల్ వైల్ మీన్ వైల్ డోంట్ ప్యానిక్ డోంట్ వరీ డోంట్ హరీ జస్ట్ డూ యువర్ వర్క్ ఫర్ ది సేక్ ఆఫ్ వర్క్ కర్మ ఫల త్యాగం
That's
a true
right.
Sanyasi is one who can sacrifice the result of his action to God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was telling you about how I'm so particular about not people not pointing fingers at me and all that. Yeah. Actually, when I joined my job, after I started working, three months later, I got an outstanding performance award or something like that. And I reacted so strongly. I started saying, I was resisting it completely. I said, I don't want it. And then Sanjaka called me at that time. I said, see, I don't want all these awards. I just do my work and I'll go, I said. So what you are essentially saying is, tomorrow if they insult you, you will also not take that. Said, is that what you are saying? Learn to accept both. Don't just leave it, she said. And then, you know, I was thinking of Nanagaru's words, bear insult, bear injury and all that.
Yeah. So it was difficult for you to take the appreciation.
Yeah. So, I was just keeping myself safe from insults because I thought if I don't accept this, I'll be safe there also. And I will stay away. You know, that kind of stupid things we used to feel at that time.
This is where we will give some more clarity to the listeners because this is very important, baby. Even me, because I could exemplify myself also here because earlier, you know, when they used to ask us to write an article, when Grishma asked us to write an article or when Vijay asked us to do something, we never wanted people to know it is our form or our name.
Please
keep my name hidden or let people not know it's me. So I would change my name to something else and write my article so that I'm not recognized.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Then later on, I thought is a good egoless act.
Absolutely.
that again is the wrong notion, as you said. When somebody, when you do, see, when great work, you do a lot of work, you do work like worship, you get a lot of appreciation, then prasada buddhi svikarinchu.
Your voice is great.
Mm. Yeah, prasada buddhi svikarinchachu.
Ante,
you have done work for the sake of work and the result has come. The result is in God's hand.
So he gives
some merit or he doesn't give you anything or he something which is not pleasant to you comes, anything take it as with prasada buddhi.
Absolutely.
As God's gift for you. So you don't be perturbed. So you need not reject the appreciation.
Yeah.
So that you don't reject the insult either. You just are neutral to both.
Yeah.
Which again, as you said, he said is the true devotion.
Yeah. We are very good people. We won't accept this. Actually, like you said, you know, even I didn't want my name on the article about what I wrote. Then recently I wrote Vijay. I said, Vijay, I think you should put my name to it at least now. Because you see, what happens is people will want a name and form. Who is this and all that. And the other thing is, you know, so repeatedly used to tell me when I used to sign my name, Sridevi, for articles, he would say, your name is not Sridevi. You are baby. You put your name baby there. Who will know you to write Sridevi?
So he, I mean, here the beauty of this is baby. Earlier we didn't want to be recognized because we identify ourselves totally the body.
But
with time, with the understanding of subject, with his love, with the peace that we internally enjoyed, we recognized this is not us anymore. We are not the ego. We are not the body. We are not what we are, like looking at. We stopped seeking outside things. We stopped seeking materialistic things. We stopped seeking anything from outside. We stopped seeking from God also. He brought us to a state where we don't expect anything anymore.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter you put your name or it doesn't matter if you are seen to people because you ante meeku prapanchamto ni vyavaharamto unna tadapyam poi meeku bhagavantudito tadapyam erpaddaka nee roopamto neeku sambandham ledu.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sambandham unnappudu ayyo yaddu lapte idi kavali anedi untundi. So now it's not both. You are just being yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
That's how I will tell you why I'm wearing this sari. You know, that was the only time I had Nargaru's touch.
Oh, really?
Because I was, in Arunachalam, they were doing this Pada Puja together. Sanjanti made this Nargaru's Padalu, that Vindi Padal Chaitchara. So, Avishmi and all, they did the Puja. And then I went and I was bowing to him. I was prostrating and lying down. And then I could not get up because he took some flowers from his feet, put them on my head, and then he held my head down like that.
So sweet. So very sweet, baby. So but very sweet.
All the time I'll remember.
So you were in this sari, huh?
I was in this sari that day, so I
That's why you wore it today. Such a sweet thing to do. I mean, so adorable you are. You are his baby, indeed.
All of us are his baby.
Yeah. And he specified, you are baby, and not Sridevi.
You see, all these, so many of them, especially these younger devotees, Sadavan Sunil, Vijay, Siva, and then, the Sai Lakshmi. Aparna, so many of them. Wonderful.
They are doing amazing work. Amazing.
Completely focused.
And
all the time doing his work. All the time doing his work. It's really humbling. Thinking of them, looking at
True. Yes. And also, you have done this translation work for Unnadi Brahma Mukkati.
Yeah, I did that.
Into English.
Yeah, I did that.
I mean, literature is your cup of tea.
I have done on my own. I had no thought of doing it. It was Sunil. He was after me. Auntie, you must do it. You must do it. And then, and he said it, I started. And then, you don't know, Sunil actually edited it beautifully. He also this excellent, and he's also, he's into the subject, deeply into the subject.
He is very, very focused, baby. And loves literature work. He's so totally into books. And Nanagaru also has blessed a lot of books and gave it to him. Any book he purchased, he would take it to Nanagaru and get it blessed. And then only start reading because he would want to, you know, like invite the entire essence of a practical implementation of it.
Mm.
So, I mean, great devotees of Nanagaru, where, you know, like, they just did not, they did not take anything for granted.
Yeah, true.
His touch, they cherished his touch, they cherished the books that he gave, they cherished the subject he spoke, they cherished the service that was given to them. True. And greatly humbling, as you said, baby. I mean, there's so much to learn from these devotees where they don't want to appear on screen, but at the same time, they've done amazing work. Especially Vijay. I would love to bring him onto platform one day. I wish he accepts it and says, no, let me do the work the way I'm doing.
Didi, I just want to mention one thing. Hello, can you hear me? Baby auntie, you mentioned it earlier, to not only translations, but like to the main website, Sri Nanagaru website, she has been done a lot of work in terms of Ramana Bhaskara translations to English and all. Baby, lot of work is being done by auntie, I think.
Baby, you mean?
Yeah. You can hear me?
Oh, baby is doing a lot of work for the website, you mean?
Not for the website, really. The website is, I think, Verma's work. Nobody can beat him. But I started doing some translations and all that and sending to Verma. And then I think Satyananda needed some discourses because Nanagaru over time, you know.
So the Telugu translations have been done to English. Initially, Ambika had started doing...
I think after 2 or 3, I stopped them because I got into transcribing discourses because all the old discourses had to be transcribed. I must have done one or so. After that, one was over because he started... It was getting a little difficult for me. So at that point, over and he is now fully into it, day and night. So many he has transcribed and he is giving them to Ramana Bhaskara. But what I am doing this the Bhagavad Gita, doing simple articles for the Ramana Bhaskara, like Loka and then the Dvipada, Arnachal Dvipada, the Saksharama Dvipada, or some small article from that month about Bhagavan, about whatever, some articles like.
So it started with writing letters and it continues with the articles.
And then Nanagaru told me, Amma, baby, don't stop writing, he said. And you know what? It's not really, I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of devotees find it useful. But for me, it is completely beneficial because I am the one who is benefiting most. I am all the time, because you have to stay focused. If you have to give them on time, you have to write something, send it on time for the public.
And it's in a way disciplining us.
Yeah.
And to keep us in constant remembrance of the subject and of him.
Oh, but then, you know, that is Nanagaru's way of keeping me on track too, because otherwise I would probably drift here and there.
And I think this very Sunday Satsang platform is also to keep us all in track and not to deviate at all at any point of time.
Because
it's very easy to drift into the world. It's so easy to drift into the world, baby. Because, see, situations keep changing, weather keeps changing, life keeps changing for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to drift out rather than, look within and go closer to the truth.
There's a lot of...
The distractions are too many. That's why Nanagaru always exemplified Hanuman, Lakshman and all these characters, saying how focused and devoted they were, and they didn't have any other work but the work of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, unwavering faith and dedicated work, a selfless work.
Yeah.
For the benefit of humanity.
Yeah.
You know, how bad would we get an opportunity to do this work?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
How else would we get an opportunity to do this work unless he has blessed us with it and made it a means of our life?
True.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, yeah, that's how, yeah, you became closer. And there were many incidents for you, like the way he spoke personally to your father. To you also, he has guided you in many ways. And you
yeah, he did.
Him, yeah.
No, at every point, he gave me guidance, at every point.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even have to ask him all the time. He knew how to reach out to us and, even when we had all these, when my dad passed away and all, we were going through some difficulties for the first time. He would call us regularly at that time. And then, he would keep track and then he would guide my mother, he would guide me. You know, even in our worldly life, so much guidance he gave.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Even in worldly life.
True. Always, always.
And then he said something, we wanted to put spirituality aside, first you take care of this, he used to say.
Because unless we solve, and then when we face problems, Ruby, we need to, work on it, solve it, and get back to our thing. You can't ignore anything in life. It's like you have to go through them to evolve out of them.
Yeah.
Avoiding a problem is never a solution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danni parishkarinchukuntu munduku vellali.
He told me, he told me to some fun context, you can read a lot, you can write a lot, but what is important is facing situations in life. That is where you will learn, he told me. You can do all that, but you must face situations in life.
Yeah.
You know, once I had this nice book I got from somewhere. So then I showed this to Sanjanta. I said, I want to write Nangaru's words in this book. She said, no, ask him to write something. Whenever he comes to your house, you give him the book, let him write something in it. And then I said, okay, that's a good idea. I will give it to him. And then once when he came, I gave it to him. And then I want you to write in this whenever you can and all. He said, leave the book on my table. He kept it on the table until the day he left. On that day, he called for me and he said, here is your book. It is Sarpotundamma, he said. So he wrote one. Anta Ishwara Sankalpunto Nadustoni. Adi Telusukovatam Kavali. He wrote that. He showed it to me and he said, idi saripothundamma. So I never asked him to write anything more. I kept that book. We just wrote.
So in the entire diary that you put to him, he has written that alone and said, idi saripothundi.
Writing. He just wrote that and I just kept it like that. I didn't, I felt...
Read it again. Just read it again.
Huh?
Read it again.
I'm reading it. Anta Ishwara Sankalpanto Nadustondi. Idi Telusukovatam Kavali. Show it like this, it's not visible, but...
Yeah. That's okay. Amazing.
Yeah, so many memories, and when you start talking about him, they keep on, and then later you'll remember, so he said this, he did that. At every point, he's so much into our life that at every point you are thinking of him, especially after he left his body. Everyone, the other day, this Chakrapanigar Lakshmi, she was telling me, he became part of everybody's life. All devotees experience that. So there is no way of saying Nanagaru is not there. He is everywhere now. He left his body and he became...
He's everywhere.
Around the world.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He's guiding us from within and without. I mean, all the foundation that he had to do, he did it when he was in body. He made us all understand ayina maatladina subject anta manaki ardhamayi avagahana ayi adi jeerninchukune varaku undi adi manaki balanni icche varaku aa balanni kuda ayina chusi bless chesi vellaru.
He used to keep repeatedly say, chapatam anta aipoyindamma ivvatame.
So speaking is over, it's only bestowing it on you. So as we said, we just have to work for the sake of work, love for the sake of love, be a blessing unto ourselves and others, because we are not the negative attributes we conditionally think that it is us, which we've been doing for many, many lives, that we are so and so, we are so and so, we are so and so. No, 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 you are not any of those. You are the supreme state inside. And connect to it, then you feel the beauty. Connect to it, you feel the strength. Connect to it, there's the peace lies only there and not anywhere else. So once, until that conviction has brought us this tremendous amount of strength within. That is what keeps us, you know, like, it does not let us deviate into the world or go into the attractions of the world. It keeps us focused on the subject, on the truth, and, you know, like, andike, oka janma atitu aina, we will all be enlightened.
I don't know. I think I've said whatever I can.
Yeah, you did. Is there anything else? I mean, it was a beautiful session, baby. Probably we'll do in Telugu also once, because it's really, really very, very sweet. And we can show the audience again this hall. Maybe we will do it after a few months again.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's been really, really wonderful. It's like sitting with Nangaru in SR Nagar Hall. Thank you. Om Shri Nana Paramatmane Namaha.